This is part 14 of UFO contact from planet Akkart, the Solar Steel Factory. We went up a little after having flown straight to the place indicated by Akkart. Then we ascended to a great surprise with what I saw. I asked, "What is this?" looking at him and to the front. "A station camp?" "No, it is a factory, the one I mentioned." "Factory? But beneath that plane?" "Wide leveled place. You can not see that it is a part of the roof of the mentioned factory?" But all that extent covers only one factory?" "Yes." At that moment he made a curve above one side of the factory. From there I could see that it was just what he said. It was 10 kilometers long, about a 0.5 kilometers in width. A part of the roof where there should have been tiles was only one sheet, very smooth, like an airfield runway. I thought of this and then began to laugh to myself, making a cork, making no notice, and he asked me why I laughed. I answered, "For nothing," and I continued with the air of chuckling. If in Brazil they were to make a sheet like that, they would need the budget for 2 full years for the whole nation. We landed on that sheet terrace. There were thousands of similar ships there that were flying, hovering and parking in one place or another. Besides those that were already there, more commenced to arrive and almost none took off. I asked, "Why is it that they only arrive and almost none are leaving?" "Because it is almost the hour to begin work." "But who are those who arrive in those ships? Are they all workers?" "Yes, except for some who live nearby, all come by these ships." "Are you saying that all who work here are rich, since one of those ships must be very expensive?" "No, they do not cost. And here being an Akkartian citizen and a worker is enough to have a right to one." "I don't understand." "But you will understand before you return to your earth." "Let us go," he said to me without giving me more explanations. I followed as always. We went to an elevator stop and getting in descended to the ground level, which altogether was of only that one colossal floor. There is no need to say that I starved when we left the elevator, since such a shop was to me a novelty. The first surprise that I had was when I expected to see some thousands of columns there inside to support that immense sheet with all those ships parked there above. And I didn't see any. I felt like running outside. It was not possible that with all that weight, all did not come tumbling down there. As I said, it was some 10 kilometers long by nearly 500 meters wide, and it was about 30 meters high. For this reason, I was surprised when I saw that it had only 3 lines of columns, 2 lateral and 1 crossing in the middle, and likewise the same great distance between one and the next. We entered in one end. In aspect it was there that there were those desks, some 30 meters to the left of the elevator. To go on foot to the other end of the building, to the right, one would have, I think, to run very fast to reach there within an hour and a half. While I was making these observations, I automatically accompanied a cork to a door that was standing open. By the way, there where we came in, to our left, there were a number of rooms, which, upon passing there to the right, I did not see anybody, as far as I could see. A cork went in, with me following, and approached something resembling a balcony where a number of people were occupied in reviewing stacks of papers. With our arrival, a heavy man appeared, having the look of a supervisor. A cork showed him the same paper which he had previously presented in those other places. The man, after reading the paper, returned it with a smile. Then they conversed cheerfully for a moment. Suddenly the big man looked toward me with a little fear on his face as he examined me from head to foot. After that, he continued to speak to a cork. At that instant, I am certain a cork told him who I was. Finally, he gave us 2 papers of about 1 palm square, each with a fastener on it. A cork took them and spoke a little more with him, and then said, "Come with me," and we went out of there. The heavy one was still speaking with those others. Those stopped work for some moments and followed us with furrowed eyebrows to the door. We went to the elevator, and then a cork stopped and gave me 1 of the squares of paper and said, "Fasten this on your chest." "Fasten it on my chest? Why?" "This paper is a license for us to proceed throughout the whole factory. Without this, every step we take, we will be giving explanations to one or another." "Ah, and with this?" I fastened it on my chest, like him. "But with this, I looked like a Ford with a big license plate. I looked to see if I could read what was written there, but I did not understand one comma. That which was presented to me in those 2 hours and a half, Earth time, that followed was all that we could see in the time it took us to walk through the factory. To be able to give an understanding with any exactitude of all that I saw in that factory could only be done if I were an engineer, scientist, designer, or another expert. Because of this, I am not going to bore you with details, because with the education which I have, it could be entirely impossible. I can give you only a superficial account of what I saw. I can tell you also, if I was able to make a more detailed account of those 2.5 hours that I was inside of the factory, it would need a book of at least 500 pages with 150 illustrations to report the information. Once licensed, we began to walk. The first 200 meters forward seemed to be a deposit of steel or iron in bars and sheets. From there forward, we began to encounter machines of all types to work the metal. What are these machines making? this is a section for fabrication of domestic appliances in general, such as electric lamps, televisions, and many other things. In the middle of those we were coming to in front, I noticed that the machines were quite different. For some thousand and a few dozen meters length, it was all a warehouse of what the machines produced. What could be stocked was stacked to the ceiling, and the rest was found spread out around the waste room for final finishing. The machines all worked harmlessly, the first preparing the raw material, then passing it to the next, and it likewise. When the last released them, they were ready to be used. They came out in thousands per hour. We crossed that part full of finished objects and came to some new machinery. And here, what do they fabricate? I asked. This is the electrical selection. All that is related to electricity is made here. As you can see, motors, lamps, weapons, etc. I looked at him incredulously. Finally, I thought for certain, he's joking. Electrical arms? Now? But sir, you said that all that is made here is electrical. How do you explain the fabrication of arms then? I waited for him to respond, rectifying his error, but the one was mistaken was I. It is exactly because they have to be fabricated in the electrical section, since the arms in use for any and here are all electrical. But what is the function of electricity in a weapon? I asked intrigued. You will see, he responded. We continued to proceed through the factory. The machines in this section seemed to me to be smaller than in the previous section, but in number about the same. Another thing that intrigued me was seeing all that machinery in operation, giving evidence of being electrical, but I didn't see any wires that could make the connections between one and another. Finally, I thought that the wires ran beneath the floor, and convinced of this, I didn't ask any explanation from him. We crossed the space of the machines and came onto a storage area like before. In regard to motors, a cork had all good reason, since in front of us I saw thousands of them, in an extent embracing the whole width of the factory for almost 1 kilometer of length. There it was literally covered with the motors of all kinds. There was only one corridor empty, formed between the stacks of finished motors. The size of motors varied from the size of a lantern flashlight to that of a 2-ton generator. A cork conducted to me to a shelf of 3 levels with some 200 finished motors, complete with some objects that resembled loose leaf manuals, since they had in certain places to secure with the hand. At the extremity, those that we came upon were small, but the size of those near in front we found ever bigger, and the least at the end of the shelf was the size of a T10 horsepower motor. It means earth motor. Look, he said, touching one the size of two battery lantern. What little motor is that? I asked. He smiled, shaking his head, certainly saying to himself, those poor people of Earth, how backward they are still. It is a weapon for personal defense. I did not know how to answer, since I didn't see any place at all indicated a receptacle for bullets. Finally, a little dismayed, I asked, where do you place the bullets and where do they come out? He smiled, responding, the time for bullets for us has long passed. But then, he cut my phrase in the middle and looking around as it for something, took the paper that he carried on his chest and asking excuse, tore off a piece of the corner of the paper and tossed it some 3 meters in front of us, then pointing. A beam of strong light came out, like projected from an electrical arc welder. I waited to hear a detonation and the consequent ricochet of the bullet from the floor, but I only saw that ray of silent light. I thought, what kind of deed was that? But when I looked for the piece of paper, I almost fell on my back. Or what was a piece of paper before remained scarcely a remnant of ash, and a thin smoke rose a half meter in the air. But was it the light that came out from the inside that burned up the paper? Surely, can't you see? What a fabulous thing. How does it function? With batteries? No, with solar energy. This, indicating what he had in his hand, produced rays of up to 200 volts, not enough to carbonize a human body, but it can kill instantly. I looked then at those they had on the shelves, which were bigger. Do these have more power? Yes, much more. He repositioned that one where it was before we came in front of it. He pointed out and in the same time told me the potency of each one. The last one, they were very big, however, the handling of them was the same. For what do these serve? They are placed on the solar ships and also here at certain points. One ship, such as the one that brought you here, is equipped with 8 to 10 of them. What is the potency of one of them? It's great. With one of these, you could destroy a building from a distance of 2 to 3 kilometers. What a horror! Yes, it could be, but it is better than such desire for atomic bombs as the terrestrials are fabricating on such a grand scale that it seems to play that seems the play of children. That thing, this weapon is not very efficient in case of attack by an enemy, since it seems to me that it can only be used to counterattack when the enemy is very close. But for what do we have other weapons more efficient, which also are unknown to the terrestrials, I suppose? But what weapon is that? It is the neutralizer. Yes, but what is the effect of that weapon? It can neutralize the solar rays up to a distance of 5,000 kilometers, and all that is found within the field embraced by one neutralizer would be lifeless and uncontrolled. If it stuck persons within this field, they would die of asphyxiation in a few seconds. Are you saying that if I reached a solar ship within the area neutralized, its crew would die, however, the ship would not be destroyed? But the ship would be lost in the same manner, since once uncontrolled, it could be precipitated by an infinite amount of velocity outside of normal and could disintegrate upon striking the barriers of any planet. With one of those weapons, you can win a war in a few minutes without destroying a single house. Yes, he responded, sighing deeply. Are these neutralizers made here also? No, we have only one factory for these neutralizers, but it is not here. Perhaps I will take you there so you can see it. I myself would like to know more about this marvel of the Arcadians. He smiled. Well, let us go on, for there is still much for you to see. At that level, I calculated that we must be in the middle of the factory, but Akork told me no when I asked. The part where we were now, though almost open, was a foundry because there were molds everywhere. One could see, moreover, that in this section were manufactured the skeletons of small ships. However, the motors came from another section. This section between the foundry, the machines, and a part where they store the ships embraced an area of 500 to 2,000 meters. There it was not difficult for me, still less with some explanations by Akork, to comprehend on what piece each of the machines worked, because I already knew something about the small solar ships. It was something truly fantastic to observe how well everything was controlled here, where the raw material entered in one part, was molded and passed forward till it came out a complete ship at another point. After looking there and Akork giving me explanations of all, we passed forward. There, yes, I truly saw miracles of a people very advanced in science and technology. That was down on part 14. Next is 15, headline structure, construction of a flying disc, which will be on another audio file.